got a hell of a feature interview thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask Your Mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional choice to kick it all off, because when you talk about major figures in supercars, who do you reckon is someone that's really spread throughout pit lane?
Well, there's a few. There is a few, and some of them are controversial. Some of them are not. Some of them have a voice. Some of them do not. Nimsy.
Or some of them are scared to have one.
Yes, and so there are.
I don't think our first guest is scared to have a voice.
No. We love it when we actually have a voice within Supercar that loves to have an opinion, doesn't own a team, supports, and can throw his weight around and have good, strong, honest opinions. I think our fans like it. We love it. So I'm really looking forward to our first guest. I think it's going to be great.
You know what? In case you haven't picked it up, he is the founder of Boost Mobile. He sponsors not just the Boost Mobile Commodore for Brody Kostecki, but also James Courtney in the number 44 Ford Mustang for Tickford Racing. Also throws his support behind Macca at Brad Jones Racing. And in Super 2, also backs Macaulay Jones. And you know those jumpy trucks that we love? Well, he also backs them as well. Please welcome, for the first time to the driver's seat, the one and only Peter Adderton.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. You did forget that we're doing the Boost Mobile 500 up at the Gold Coast as well. So
exactly right.
We have an event as well at Supercars. So, you guys having me on.
What we usually call schoolies for adults is the Gold Coast event, so we're looking forward to that. And I must say, Peter, welcome to the show, because you are making your debut, and it's a fortuitous debut as well, because for the first time in our five-year history of the driver's seat, we're going live into New Zealand tonight, both North and South Island. And I reckon if there is a sponsor in motorsport that will grab the raptures of the New Zealand crowd, it's going to be you, because you're bringing King Murphy and Richie Stanaway back to Bathurst. So a sensational time for you to debut on the show.
Yeah, super excited. I love New Zealand. Love the New Zealanders. They're extremely passionate when it comes to motorsport. And, you know, I've been a big supporter of Greg's for over 20, 25 years. So, love that. And I'm glad that you guys have got yourself into New Zealand. That's really good news.
So, mate, let's talk about Boost for a minute, because, as I said in the opener there, you don't own a team. You are a sponsor, and you partner with a number of drivers, and you partner with Events Now and the Jumpy Trucks, which Mrs. Mack says I'm not allowed to drive anytime soon.
But Stadium Super Trucks.
Trucks, that's right. Boost Mobile Jumpy Trucks. You're heavily involved in the sport. I mean, what is it about this sport that appeals to you, and why is Boost so heavily involved?
Well, look, I've been obviously a big fan of motorsport for many, many years, you know, dating back to the time when I sat on the couch with my dad watching races. So there's a love of the sport. The other thing I found with Boost is that, you know, any of these brands, whether it's Red Bull or Monster, you need to have energy. You need to portray energy in your brand. And I think what motorsport does for us, especially all those different elements, to, you know, the Super 2s and the V8 supercars and the trucks as well, is it brings a level of energy to your brand. And that's really important to us. So, you know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, Boost has been involved in the sport is, one, the energy that brings to the brand, also my passion for it, but also the fans. The fans are extremely loyal. And, you know, when you're putting a product on the side of a car, or you're putting a product, up on a stadium somewhere, it's really important to have the engagement of the fans. And I think a lot of times people just put things up, big brand advertisers put it up and don't have a connection. So what we've tried to do is bring a story to what we do. Everything we try to do has a story to it. It tries to have some authenticity to it. I mean, we try to do different things. You know, most brands sit up there and they have a product manager, and the product manager looks at it and signs it off and never goes to a race, doesn't understand the drivers, the personalities, doesn't understand the team. So we're very, very different. We are engaged, our brand, and I am engaged, and our brand's engaged in the sport and in the fans. And, you know, sometimes that people like that, and then sometimes people, you know, think that's controversial. I always laugh because, you know, I'm supposedly controversial because I have an opinion. I would argue that everyone should be controversial because everyone should actually have an opinion. Some people don't want to say it or do it, but, you know, I think today's world, you need to have an opinion, and if that's controversial, then, you know what, everyone should be controversial.
Hear,
hear. Hey, Pete, it's Stevie J here, mate. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. What I love about Boost and yourself is, as you probably just alluded to everybody, you're outside the square, you're outside the box, you're outside the normality of what Supercars has been, and is sort of, I wouldn't say getting to the stage that it got a bit boring, but it got a bit monotonous, it got a bit sort of straight down the line, school sort of yard type, where now you're venturing out into these, as you said, different opinions, and I guess people can take that either way. And what I love about what you're doing is you don't care whether it's one way or another, you're just getting it out there. But what I want to know is, you know, boosters spread through supercars quite a bit, as you alluded to. You got driver sponsorship, you got car sponsorships, you got event sponsorships. What defines like a boost driver? Because you've got two very different guys in James and Brody, and you love seeing them battle on the track, even though that they're both sponsored by the same brand. What defines, you know, what you would like to see within the boost guidelines?
It's people who don't fit in a box, like people who aren't portrayed as something that they're not. You know, the first thing I say to any driver that I have, and anyone we back, by the way, be it surf or be it motorsport or be it any of the other events we be, is be who you are. Now, not everyone's going to like that, but you know what I like? I like authenticity. I like you to be real, you know, and you don't have to agree with me, by the way. Not everybody agrees with my stance. You know, not James doesn't always agree with what I say, and neither does Brody. But I said, guys, just be who you are. And what I loved about Brody is a true racer. And he's one of those guys where what you see is what you get, right? He's not intimidated by anybody. And by the way, no driver should be. He's not intimidated by anybody, and it's who it is. And you look at James. You know, James and I go back, the relationship there's for a long, long time. The other thing I try to pride ourselves on at Boost is to look after athletes in the good times and the bad times. And a lot of sponsors just dump people, right? If it doesn't have any value anymore. And, you know, when James was at the end of his career, didn't have anywhere else to go, because we had supported James since he was a teenager, same with Chad Reed, I step up and go, no, this is the time that demonstrates that that's what the brand stands for. So we like to be there at the beginning of the career and the end of the career of the athlete. And what that does then is, if you're an athlete like, you know, Brock Feeney, you're like, well, I'm going to sign with Boost because I know no matter what happens, Boost will be with me towards the end, you know, to the end. And there's very few sponsors. And you see these guys, they're in and out of cars, they're in and out of sponsors. They've got, you know, a flurry of helmets at home with every different sponsor that they've ever had through their career. And a Boost athlete always has Boost. We'll always be there. And I think that's one of the things we pride ourselves on.
And I love that, because that's also, you know, you're not breaking the mold there with respect, because if we look back into the history of our sport, you got, you know, Brock was always synonymous with Mobil. Your father, Stevie J, was synonymous with Shell and is back there. And I think it's a valuable lesson for partners to take that long-term view, not just the seasonal view or the race-by-race view, Peter. So I think that's an absolutely true tried and tested strategy into aligning a brand with someone. You mentioned Brock Feeney there. Tell me about Brock, because, you know, there's a lot of chat up and down pit lane that he is the presumptive
the heir
driver,
apparent, if you will.
The heir apparent to go into to Jamie's seat. But, you know, you've also come out and said, well, if he doesn't get that, he will still be in a supercar seat somewhere in next year. So by that statement alone, Pete, that tells me that he's not necessarily a shoe-in at that chair. And if he doesn't go in there, will we see him at somewhere like Tickford next year, or because you'd want to put him into a competitive car?
Look, I think that seat's Brock's to lose, the 888 seat. You know, we've been a big supporter of Brock. And just on that, and any other young drivers that are listening, the main reason why I supported Brock, you know, I've obviously been in America for 20 years. The main reason why I supported Brock is most athletes and drivers that we have, we constantly are on them about wear a hat, wear a T-shirt, do something on social media, tag us. Brock has that support from Boost for one reason. Obviously, he's extremely fast and he's all the things you want. Brock would always wear a Boost hat, even when I wouldn't ask him to, right? He always posted something with Boost. And everyone says, it can't be that simple, Peter. I said, no, it is that simple, right? If you're managing an athlete, if you're a dad managing an athlete, right, and you've got a brand like Boost, you're at a sponsorship brand, go over and above what we ask you to do, because it does get noticed. And so when I sit there and I look at what Brock's done, and we obviously put him into his first Bathurst with James, because I thought that was really, really important, we will continue to support him. And I'm hoping that, you know, 888, I think they're probably playing games to try to stretch the story out. I think Brock's got the seat.
Sure.
But what I said to Brock is, Brock, if you don't have that seat, let these guys let you know and we'll put you in a seat, because the guy has earned his right to race a supercar.
And he's actually proven that, like, especially even the last round or last two rounds up at Townsville the last yep. 2 weekends. Mm-hmm. I think there was only one session that he didn't top, you know, and that was practice, I think, on last weekend, which was a Sunday practice. So yep. he's fast enough. I've known Brock for a long time, and, you know, he deserves everything he gets. He works bloody hard behind the scenes. He's not just a turn-up race driver with his helmet in his hand and where's my car. He gets his hands dirty. He does the work behind the scenes, and he's reaping the rewards on the track. But I did want to – I know we touched on the story about Greg and Richie before, but I loved the interviews that those guys did. Was it Supercar on the Supercars Life, whatever
yep.
it was?
Yep.
And yep. just – and with you on there, Pete, and just how much you had to coax them into, twist their arm – and really push hard to get them to accept. Normally, a driver would go, yeah. Like if a sponsor's offering a seat, you go, yeah, absolutely. But you really had to work hard to get these guys back on track in a Boost car.
Yeah, and it was a challenge. I'll be honest with you. You know, the one thing that I think that Supercars has been lacking is the entertainment factor. I mean, you look at what happened at Townsville and you look at what happened at the race before that and the race after that and the next race is – you pretty much know what's going to happen, right? You pretty yeah. much know the storyline, right? And then they try to create storylines, but at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen. It's fairly predictable. What I wanted to do, I actually saw when Supercheap came out and put that Russell Engel, Brock Feeney thing together. I was like, okay, they're not going to outmarket us. So I rang Greg and Richie. Both of them had, I tried to get Greg before. I actually tried to get Greg to drive with Richie a while back when we had the, I think it's 2018 in the GRM car, but he wouldn't do it. And so that was it. I decided I never got to see Greg race Bathurst at the last Bathurst because I was obviously in America for the last 20 years. I was, you know, a big supporter of his. So I just rang him up and I just guilt-tripped him the whole way home. And I said, Greg, I don't care, mate. I'm going where you probably don't want me to go, Greg. But I'm going to say I've never asked you to do anything for me ever. I've done so much for you. I'm asking you to do this for me.
How good.
And Greg's like, don't go there, Peter. I said, no, Greg, I'm going there. And then I basically rang up and kind of misled Richie a little bit by saying, oh, Greg's doing it. And he's like, what? And then I said, and then Richie goes, well, give me some time to think about it. And I said, no, Richie, I'll give you some time. I'll call you back tomorrow. And then I just hounded him and hounded him and hounded him. And I said, Richie, it can't be the way that it ended. That can't be the chapter that finishes Richie's race career. Right? Yeah. I said, because I felt kind of responsible for putting him in an environment at Gary Rogers. You know, Gary's a very old school guy. And I knew that, by the way, 20 years ago. But I kind of thought Gary might have, you know, changed his style a little bit when we put him in there. But, you know, he hadn't. And so it was a very, very, it was a clash of a European driver like Richie, who's basically used to putting his helmet on, getting in the car, drive the car, come back, talk to the engineer, don't talk to the press, go straight out the back and go home. But Supercars is very different, right? And so it's a very different environment. And I think it was a bit of a shock to Richie, and maybe even, you know, again, I keep blaming myself a little bit for putting him in an environment where it probably wasn't the right one. So I said, Richie, we can't let it end like that. Let's have some fun. Let's go to Bathurst. And eventually both the boys agreed. And I'm super excited because I think, you know, this Bathurst this year is going to be, it's going to be fun to watch because there are no predictable stories now, right? You've got the wild cards in there. And I think the wild cards have added an element of spice to the race.
Absolutely.
What's actually pretty funny, Peter, is that because we had Greg Murphy on after the announcement, and he basically said that exact same story, except from his point of view.
Slightly different, wasn't
it?
I
reminded Greg. Actually, I think Greg dated one of my old girlfriends I reminded him of as well. So,
he didn't tell us about that one.
No, he didn't tell us.
No,
he let that bit out.
No. I don't know whether he wanted to or he tried. I know he tried.
Very funny. In fact, it's interesting, Pete. We're just going back to our conversation a little earlier about, you know, the loyalty of fans and that sort of stuff. One of our regular listeners, Peter from Moonta Bay in South Australia, texted and he said, proud to be a Boost Mobile user after listening to Peter from Boost. So there you go. Good on you, Peter from Moonta Bay.
Mate, awesome. Mate, appreciate those guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely.
Those guys very much.
Mate, I want to touch on one last thing. You've given us a lot of time tonight. We really appreciate it. I want to just touch on one last thing because it is topical and I think you're right in the middle of it. And we read on Auto Action and we read on Fast Deli all these sorts of stories about what's happening with the buyout with supercars. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some commercial confidences that you can't speak through, but and I saw your post during the week, which was very funny. It was alleged earlier in the week that your buyout is now gone, that your consortium with a few other people like Mick Doohan and Peter Smith, Jack Smith's father, is done and dusted. But at the very least, can you at least clarify on this show whether you are in or are you out?
Well, I mean, we obviously, I've been interested in supercars, and I actually mentioned this, I think, you know, prior to the process that supposedly is being run right now, that I was interested in acquiring supercars, and not because I'm an egomaniac that needs to control everything. It's because I believe that the sport can be way better than where it is today. I do get up every morning and I look to my media outlet to see what I'm doing. I'll read Auto Action and they say that I'm out of the bid, and then I'll read another one that says we're back in on the bid. I can say that I have always had interest, but the thing that really drives me is that supercars, the business, right, is just nothing more than an events company, right? They just basically own events. What I really want, and what I have always believed, is that the teams, the stars in their cars, but more importantly, the teams, need to be strengthened. They need to have the lion's share of the revenue. They need to make sure that their business models are strong, not just for themselves, but to bring in new people. You know, I've looked at obviously owning a team, and I've looked at buying a team. And the first thing I do when I look at the teams is I go, any smart businessman would not invest $1 into that team. So if we were to do anything, the first thing that we would want to do is make sure that the teams had a business model that brought in more investment, more team owners, and that you basically being a team owner, it wasn't a charity to allow supercars and Archer Capital to basically raise, you know, run events when you're losing money and you're not making money. So for me, the structure, if I was to do something, would be all about giving the teams the strength, not only for their business model, but for other new investors coming in. It's been written, are we interested? Yes, we are interested in supercars. And it's not because I'm sitting there going, we need to make more money. We're trying to buy this as a business. I mean, that's not why I'm doing it. And I guarantee it's not why a lot of people are doing it. There are others out there that are commercially minded. American-based, commercially-minded, you know, companies that I read about. Mm-hmm. And that's all about the P&L for them, right? And people don't realize, I've lived in America for 20 years, but they will invest in these things, and if they don't work, they just pull out. I mean, Australia is 1% of the world, right? So when an American thinks of Australia, it's a hobby, right? They'll have a go at it. If it doesn't work, they'll cut their losses and they'll leave. A consortium of passionate, hard-working people who've built their own businesses, who love the sport, will grow that sport even when it has tough times, and it's going to have tough times. So, you know, from my perspective, I love the sport. We want to see it get better, and we want to see it get bigger. We want to bring in new brands, and but more importantly, get those teams to the point where they're really viable business models, right? And that these guys can actually make money, because when they're strong, the series is strong.
So what would be the first thing, and it's, again, commercial confidence, you have to be very careful here, but there's going to be a list of 10, 20, 30 things that that you would change. What would be the first thing that Peter Adderton would change if he were in charge of supercars?
The first thing is to get the team stronger, is to help the teams understand how to get sponsors. You know, if you look at the if you look at the grid right now, I always have this kind of joke, right? The top three or four teams have money, and then the rest of them are basically, you know, a high-end rental car, right? Basically, people buy the seat, right? So I sit there and go, we've got to fix that, right? From the low-income housing down the end of the pits all the way back up to the high-income housing, it's got to be more fair and balanced. So you've got to be able to spread the wealth across those teams to make sure that they're all viable. And I think that that's the key thing for us. The other thing is to get other people to invest in the sport. You know, Pitbull, who's one of our, you know, big, in, you know, was one of our big, you know, music artists in America, just bought into a NASCAR team, right? So you're starting to see more people come into NASCAR outside of the sport. Yeah. That's what supercars needs, right? In order to grow the sport, the problem we have is that supercars talks to the supercars audience, right? Which sadly is going away, right? And so if you're going to expand a sport, you've got to expand the audience. Well, you can't do it by basically marketing to the same people all the time. Right. So you've got to expand that. And so that's the first thing that I would look at. I mean, there's 100 things that we would look at changing. But the first one is get the team stronger, make sure that they've got brands and advertisers that will come in now and support them, obviously get the show right. And that's why, you know, it's been rumored that I want the teams out, right? I don't want the teams out because I sit there and go, I don't like the teams. In fact, I would be giving the teams more. I just think that in order for anything to work, you can't be run by a committee, right? Nothing ever has been successful when you have a committee trying to run it, when you've got two or three or four shareholders who don't agree on everything. That's a recipe of disaster. And again, it's not about picking on the teams. It's about, hey, this is a better way to operate it and run it. So that would be the first thing that we would fix, is making sure that the teams are strong. Because at the end of the day, all Supercars is an events company that owns a bunch of events. Without the teams, the drivers on the track, they basically have bitumen. They basically have a fence with bitumen and a couple of little painted stripes on it. That's what they own, effectively.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, that committee that you were talking about, Pete, it's never going to work when there's people on the committee that have got vested interest within the business.
Absolutely. Their only vested interest, and this is the part that I kind of think they get a little bit annoyed with, their only vested interest should be having a viable business.
Yeah, right? Correct.
It shouldn't be about the upright. It shouldn't be about this or about that, or I need this or I need that. It should be, do I have a viable business? And if you have a viable business, the rest is going to grow. It's going to happen organically.
Organically,
because more people want to come in. And I've looked at teams. I've looked at their businesses, and I go, I wouldn't invest $1 in those things because they don't make any money. They're struggling. And I'm sitting back going, we've got to fix that, because then you're going to have more guys like me come in and go, well, hell, I'll invest in that. That's a good business.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely.
Hear. And it was interesting, Pete, I said, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago about who we think, and we're not on the inside, so we don't know what each of the bidders is bringing to the table. But I said, one of the things that I like about your consortium is that you have a great mix of business and competitor. Not just art competitor, but competitors. Morris, Doohan, as we said, Jack Smith's father's currently involved in the sport through Jack. So it brings a really good spread of
like passionate
both a sporting content, both a sporting content and a show content.
And a business content
and
too.
And a business content. Because one of the things, and I said it on the show last week. No, I said it on an interview in Perth. The race 2 weeks ago, the NTI sprint, the NTI race at Townsville, was a snore fest. The show was rubbish. Support classes were rubbish. It was just a crap show. The super sprint last weekend was a lot better, but I think your consortium, to me, holds the key to putting on a better show, not just better racing, but a better show.
Yeah, I mean, there's more chance of you seeing a unicorn than the entertainment factor, I'll be honest with you right now, that's going on with Supercars, right? And the Shane Van Gisberg Cam Waters race was a unicorn, right? It should be every single time that those cars take to the track. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that needs to take place. The other thing about, you know, our supposed hypothetical consortium is that we're putting millions of dollars already into the sport. Now, there won't be one other person that would be looking at supercars that's already riding millions. Most of them are getting paid, by supercars. Yep. We're actually writing checks. So we're sitting there going, you know, obviously, you know, guys around our consortium, but especially me in particular, I'm writing millions of dollars worth of checks into supercars. You already mentioned the four cars plus the events and the official telco sponsor. So I already shown my commitment, and I'd love everybody else, but everybody else is looking at this going, well, how do I make money out of this? I'm sitting there going, no, how do we grow the value for the fans and for the teams? And you know what? Making money to me, I'll be honest with you, is third on the list. It really is. Because if you do all the other things right, like I don't get up in the morning at Boost and go, okay, how do we get our EBITDA up? How do we drive this? How do we drive our dividends? I get up and go, how do we get the best experience for our customers? Because the rest of it comes, right?
Yeah, agreed.
And that's the part that I think the sport needs. You know, sadly, you've got someone who owns it right now is basically a private equity fund who just wants as much money as they possibly can, right? Yeah. That's what drives them. Nothing against that. That's a great business model. It's not a great business model for for someone who's passionate in a sport. So I think it's going to be interesting to see where it ends up.
And I must say, I was probably a little bit harsh on Townsville One support categories there because the Boost Mobile jumpy trucks. They were about the highlight, if you ask me. Until one of your drivers ended up rolling the thing on its head just by turning through a corner. You're probably not up to speed, Pete, but I want to drive one of these things, and my sponsor, Kubota Tractors, want me to do it, but Mrs. McKeldin, the real boss, she's saying absolutely no way. So when
she
thinks they're dangerous.
We lowered the ramp. You know, CAMS or Motorsport Australia or Eugene, you know, obviously we had a massive battle with him a couple of years back when he banned them. These trucks are built so well. I mean, I'm good friends with Robbie Gordon. These trucks are built extremely well. They've lowered the ramps. You know, they're much safer than they have ever been. And, you know, I sit back and go, they're fun. They are absolutely a blast.
I'm with you.
And you know what's really, really dangerous is actually leaving your house. The odds of you making it home every night get less and less, right? As you get older. So I'm sitting back going, we're here to live, you know. And if you're really worried about, you know, having something happen to you, just stay at home.
I'm with you. I'm just writing notes for when I go home tonight.
Yeah.
And Mrs. McKeldin says, "Hey,
you know what you're going to do? Yeah. You're going to replay this later on from the podcast and say, look what Peter said about
that's
these.
That's going to be
it's
on speaker in the kitchen while she's making dinner.
Get her to call me.
Done.
I don't think she's worried about the actual jumpy truck safety. I think she's more worried about Matthew's talent level driving one, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's something that none of us can fix. I'll tell you this, if I can convince Murph to do Bathurst, I can convince your wife to let you run a super
truck. There you go.
Oh, no, done. Yes. We heard it here around the country and in New Zealand. Peter Adderton is going to convince Mrs. Mack to allow me to jump in a jumpy truck on the Gold Coast.
Pete, you're going to need all of my luck in Australia and New Zealand. Zealand's luck to get that across the line, let me tell you. That's going to be way harder than Murph and Stanaway.
Hey, Peter, just quickly before we let you go, because you've been incredibly generous with your time. Look, the big story is, of course...
I don't know whether you guys realise we're in lockdown. I really have nothing
else to do. Well, that's true. But obviously the big story is the Greg Murphy and Richie Stanaway wildcard. But something I think often gets glossed over is, as you mentioned, Richie Stanaway probably didn't have the exit that I think he deserved, to be quite honest, because he's a very, very talented cat. Do you see this as maybe like a launching pad or like a kickstart to maybe get Richie back in full time? And is that something that you've had a discussion with him? And is that something that he'd be up for?
This is, to me, a kickstart in Richie loving motorsport again, racing again. And I think that where that leads is obviously totally up to Richie. I told him and Greg, when we turn up to Bathurst, that this is probably the first year that you're going to have a blast. You're going to have fun. I mean, that end of the pit where we are with Russell down the end there, we're going to make that the area to hang out. It is going to be fun. So I want Richie to enjoy it. And I think if Richie enjoys it, you know, and I said to Richie, you know, you're going to be 75%, 85%. Where are you going to be? And he looked at me and he's like, I'm going to be 100%. Like, almost like he was questioning me of why I would ask him that, right? And he said, I'm not turning up to be 70 or 85%. He said, I'm going at 100%. Now, 100% of where I was before, but he goes, look, they're training. They've got simulators. I mean, these guys aren't, you know, sitting back there, you know, going to be wearing their Hawaiian shirts, you know, hanging in a hammock, right? These guys are seriously going there to have a good shot at it and have a good go at it. And I think that that's going to be you know, super important. And so they're going to turn up, and I know Richie's going to turn up with the mentality of, I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to have a go. So I'm super excited to see what happens. But I just don't want people to think that this is like a novelty act, right? That this is like the Real Housewives of supercars, right? That we're just trying to create drama. These guys are serious, and they're coming in, and I think it's good. I mean, I just hope he doesn't, you know, hurt Russell, because elderly abuse really is not something that I can do. So I told him in the pits, just go easy on Russell, talk loud, talk slow, and we might even actually do water aerobics, aqua aerobics with Russell.
That'll be something.
I said to Richie, you'll know Russell's table, it'll have all the pills lined up.
And Russell's car park is way up at the front, Pete. It's got a blue square on it.
Exactly. He'll be in a Holden Kingswood. The gold one, the 50th anniversary version.
Oh, geez. Well, that's something that we're definitely looking forward to, Peter. But like I said, you've been incredibly generous with your time. And just for anyone listening out there, if you are considering maybe switching your mobile phone provider, maybe look up Boost Mobile, because they have cut all the nonsense. They do keep things very, very simple. And you get great coverage on Australia's biggest mobile network, boost.com.au, for more details. But Peter, once again, thanks for being a part of the program. And hopefully we'll chat to you again soon.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Peter Adderton, our feature interview. Thanks to Reicherfelders. That was pretty enlightening, don't you reckon, boys?
That's cool. I knew when we talked about having him on earlier in the week that he was going to be a great interview because there's just no BS, is there? There's just no BS. There's no
don't even
political
need a filter.
Rubbish.
You literally know.
Yep.
That's exactly
Love
what
it.
He's thinking.
Yeah, and we've got so many texts, Nimsy, coming in about that interview, and we'll cover those off when we come back.
We don't have much time left in this show because we've got to get out for the Matildas game in an hour. But anyway, you are listening to The Driver's Seat. Peter Adderton with our feature interview. Thanks to Reicherfelders. Ask a mechanic for Reicherfelders, the professional's choice. You're listening to The Driver's Seat, 0433 98 1116 if you want to be part of the show.